under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure.
Whether about the exciting part, maybe.
It's exciting.
I think it's in the ear of the listener.
And well, I don't know. I think it might be in the mouth of the speaker in this particular case.
I don't know. You're trying to put your mouth to their ear?
I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is.
Friends, Romans, countrymen.
Lend me your mouths.
Or
ears.
Ears. Something.
Fingers. Something. Anyway, the personal wealth coach, and as we need to do this disclosure, is both a radio program, which you probably could figure out if you're listening at this point. If you're not listening, then you don't know, and that's okay, too. In addition to being a radio program, it is also the name of a investment advisory firm that manages investment portfolios down in Salado, and it's not a coincidence because the two guys who give advice there are also the two guys who are sitting in here speaking on the radio at KTM, and if today is Saturday, March 7th, 2015, where you are, even though we're about to go through a time warp tonight, the telephone numbers you can call to discuss anything economic or investment related with us would be 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
You know, somebody asked me a little while back, how long have you been doing this radio show?
Well, about 9 minutes.
Right, but I think they were talking about from inception.
Oh, from inception. Well, you started in 1997.
Was that when I started?
And I started in 1998.
Oh. That was in a different millennium.
Yep. So thinking back,
A different century.
18 years?
That was we started back in the last millennium.
We've been doing this. I've been working with you together or at odds on this radio program for 17 years.
And what do you get?
I need to drink a lot of water because my throat gets...
No. Yeah, there's a song there, okay.
Another day, older and deeper in debt.
That's it. But that was actually better. 16 that, you know, you load 16 tons, and what do you get?
Right.
You load
17
close,
years,
right.
And what do you get?
And the administrative assistant who works right outside my office...
She's older than you've been doing this, but only by
3 years.
Two years.
She's about to turn 20, and we're at 17.
Together, you've been doing it a year longer
than me. She turns 20 today.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for 17, so...
Together. You've been doing it for 18.
She was 3 years, 18?
You started a year before I did, by yourself.
That's right.
Because when you went to 2 hours, you said, I need some help with this.
Well, I need some help in general.
I'm beyond help.
18 years. You'd think we'd be getting good at it by now.
No. Anybody that's listened to us very long knows that we will never get good at this.
Well, did anything happen in the last week?
Let's see. Did something
The jobs
happen?
Report came out.
Hold on. That was something.
We had a jobs report that said that there are more people employed, more new jobs created last month than were anticipated.
Uh-huh.
And unemployment rate dropped to 5.5%, and of course, immediately the market declined because of that bad news.
Right. So, unemployment's down, more jobs being created than expected, and the market went down. There, another piece of unrelated news that may have been part of the reason why the market went down is a British firm reported that there are more CEOs in the United States named John than there are women CEOs in the United States. So immediately the market went down. Also, on March 6th, they decided to have a Friday, and the market went down. These are all semi-related news, and
okay.
We should be able
okay.
to find some kind of correlation
well,
somewhere in there.
In the jobs report, not only the unemployment rate fell to 5.5 from 5.7, but... Yeah, U.S. employers added 295,000 jobs. Now, you know how many employees the government added in that month? The total state, local, and federal government added.
I could tell you we've got this.
7,000.
All of government added 7,000. That's not very much.
Well, and it was all local, and the federal government continued to shrink.
Hmm.
And you listeners, who particularly those of you who are inclined to be more to the right wing, here's the irony. If you go back and look at recent history, and I'm talking about the last 6 or 7 presidential administrations, there's a very, very clear pattern that will blow your mind.
Uh-oh.
During, and believe me, the president has a lot to do with this one, okay? During administrations where a Democrat is in the White House, the federal government number of employees shrinks. When a Republican enters the White House, it grows like a weed. This is fascinating. You go back, and this is one of those strange things. You go back and look at history, and you look at when new departments get added, new
right.
cabinet-level departments, with a lot of new administrators get added, it's under Republicans.
Well, they can get it passed.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, if you look
I was just looking at this and discovering that we elect Republicans to shrink government, including Ronald Reagan.
Right.
When he left office, it was bigger than when he took over by a bunch.
Yeah, George W. Bush.
George W. Bush. You go down the list of Republican presidents, and you see every one of them grows, adds new departments, adds, and this is the fascinating thing. They have a tendency to add rules and regulations
yep.
much faster than do Democrats. I was just looking at this week and was just,
the reason is,
kind of blew my mind.
The reason is because a Democrat as president can't get all those rules and regulations passed because there's enough Republicans in the House or the Senate or whatever to say, no, we don't want any of that. But when a Republican is president and they go to Congress and they say, you got to be for the party, you got to do what I say, and they all line up and they say, all right, let's do it. Well, look at Homeland Security. That came around because of a terrorist attack. So
mm-hmm.
a Republican came to Congress and said, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this in a conservative way. We're not going to be taking rights and liberties of people like those filthy Democrats, which is basically what the speech said, only it was much more bipartisan in its.
I just think there's a tremendous irony there that, for instance, and this is the other thing, the deficit that we have now is lower, the annual deficit is lower than it was under George W. Bush. And as a percentage of the gross domestic product, it's lower than it was under Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
The Republicans, ideologically and appropriately, are anti-deficit spending, and yet under Republicans, the deficits rise very, very fast, and under Democrats, the deficits tend to fall. Now, I'm not trying to make any ideological statement about the leaning of one party to the other. I'm just looking at the numbers. You know, it's like
you can see why it happens. And again, it is because when Bill Clinton was president
mm-hmm.
and NAFTA was passed,
right?
That was passed by Republicans. The Republicans passed that, but Bill Clinton got behind it, and so enough Democrats got behind it, too, that it was signed by the president and moved forward. And if you think about if there had been a Republican as the president at that point, NAFTA would not have been passed because the Democrats would have outright opposed the whole concept. They would have said, no, you can't do this.
Yeah, the thing that strikes me, and as I looked at this deeper and deeper, is what you see and hear out of the parties,
right,
and what they wind up doing.
The platform doesn't tend to be what actually happens when they're in power.
It tends to be almost a perfect reversal.
Yeah,
that's just one of the on the level of weirdness. This is right off the scale, right, in my opinion.
When Bill Clinton came into office, taxes were higher than when he left office. When Bill Clinton came into office, the deficit was higher,
right,
than the balanced budget that he left office with.
Right.
The total debt was less. I mean, you just go down through the list, and again, this isn't because if you had allowed Bill Clinton to do everything that he wanted, it would not have run that way.
I don't know. The House, the White House would be full of bimbos. But other than that,
so I mean, following through, it's really because of the way that our system is balanced that the person in power can get things done, but only when he's using the opposition's ideas.
I just think that the and you know, we've, for those of you who've listened for a while, we have said over and over again, markets tend to go up under Democrats, and markets are representations of the health of the business community of the United States. So the business community's health tends to get better under Democrats, and the markets tend to go down under Republicans. There's actually some pretty good reason for that, too. But the irony of it is, our intuitive reaction to politics is the reverse of what the reality is. Right. It's almost like religion. It is religion in a way. Anyway, so the average job growth over the last 3 months, meaning the new jobs created by companies, because the government, the total government over the last 3 months, jobs have shrunk. That means that the people are having to work in smaller cubicles, I guess, or something. But the average new job creation in the economy over the last 3 months is 288,000.
Yep.
Now, we only need about 150,000 to break even.
Just to stay where we are.
288,000 is, I know this is going to sound goofy at this point in history, non-sustainable. We can't, in other words, we're creating job openings a lot faster than people are entering the job market.
There's a piece here that fits in very nicely to what you just said about
a
piece.
Or a pizza.
Both.
Okay.
A piece of pizza that fits in very nicely to where you're saying it's not sustainable. Another number just came out that basically says that our workforce participation rate is not good at all. Except that's what their report says. Here's where the nuances start fitting in. This is where the pizza starts coming together.
As opposed to the old nuances.
Yeah,
yes.
The new ones. We want the nuances.
We want the nuances, right.
The nuances are that workforce participation has to do with how many people are actually looking for jobs. And there were a lot of people that stopped looking for jobs because there were no jobs available.
He's dead.
Yeah, Steve. Steve, right. he passed away.
I think...
May he rest in peace.
It's kind of like Elvis Presley. A lot of people were looking for Elvis Presley.
That's true.
Right. Go ahead. Yes.
So as more jobs are becoming available, more people are coming back into the workforce.
Right.
Therefore, they are wanting a job. Now, when the survey goes out and says how many people are looking for a job and don't have one, it looks like suddenly we have a big problem when the reality is the opposite. But it also means that long-term, as more of those people come back into the workforce and more jobs are filled, we're going to hit that point where we can't we don't have any more people.
Well, and
so the workforce is going to anyway, go ahead.
The interesting thing about workforce precipitation.
It's raining work.
Well, you could say that people are dropping out of the workforce.
I think
that
you
would
meant
be
participation.
Well, I know, but I actually changed it to precipitation because precipitation is when things drop out, right?
Right. And if you make a forecast on precipitation versus participation,
You're
at least as likely to get it right. Well, if a weatherman and an economist stood together, the economist would get rained on and the weatherman would lose his job.
Right. I am actually talking about workforce precipitation.
Right. Okay. It is raining work.
Because precipitants can actually happen outside of rain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And what happens is you have people coming out of the workforce
precipitating.
Yes.
Nice.
That's why I was using
leaking.
The word. I was consciously using a word that sounded like participation. But there's been a lot of studies on this. And apparently the number of people who have dropped out because they are can't find a job and they gave up looking looks like, from the evidence that's been gathered so far, to be much smaller than is apparent. In other words, it isn't a matter, yes, workforce participation is down, but one of the main reasons, and this is a good one, is a tremendous number of women, when they were laid off in the recession, decided to have babies.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
In other words,
look at our population.
It's not a matter of, I've given up hope looking for a job. No, they have a job, and they've decided that raising children is important and they ought to spend some time at it. The other thing, and you're probably aware of this, is my generation, the baby boomers, retiring. Many of them retiring a little earlier than people thought they were going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And getting out of the system and deciding to enjoy their big 401ks. And so when you start looking for this worker who is discouraged and can't find a job, so he's given up, there are a few. But apparently it's a much smaller percentage than a lot of people had assumed. And the reason really boils down to the 401k. A lot of people have enough money that they can live comfortably between, you know, Social Security, 401k, pensions, whatever they have available to them. And the other side of that, this is the one of the things I thought was a little surprising. During the George W. Bush administration, we had a huge buildup in the government, in the size of government, federal government. And an awful lot of those people, an awful lot of people in the federal government hit their retirement point, and they have enough money.
They don't need to work for the government anymore.
They don't need to work for anybody anymore. And the number of military people who are a combination of the military retirees and the
civil servants
and
retirees.
The civil service retirees are dramatic, and they can often retire prior to 67, the full retirement age. And as a result, they are dramatically affecting the workforce precipitation rate.
Right. It is leaking away.
Anyway, let's see. But the average hourly wage for private sector workers.
Up 2% from a year ago.
Yes, $24.78. And the participation rate, 62.8. We were talking about that. 5.5% out of work.
That's a big drop in that it went from 5.7 to 5.5, yep. Which is usually it's a 0.1% drop. This is a big one. That's a big one.
And the interesting thing, the participation rate, it's literally what it's called, the participation rate, only rose from 62.7 to 62.8 as we created all these new jobs, which indicates what I was saying, that there's just not a lot of people coming back into the workforce as jobs become available. And that says, by the way, one of the Fed, I don't remember which of the Fed governors, was saying, we may be already at nearly full workforce participation, full employment. And John Williams, the chairman of the, or the president, rather, of the, is he chairman or president? Whatever, of the San Francisco Fed, said...
You could just say the head
by
of the San Francisco
Fed. The head. Well, head is kind of awkward. Anyway, that's in the Navy particularly.
Right. I cannot find the head. That may be part of the problem.
But his name is John Williams. He's also a successful producer and director of movies, so I thought it was cool. He said that by the end of 2015, we will, in his words, definitely be at full employment. So he is favoring raising interest rates in June, which, by the way, if you go out and you look at the economic news, the speculation on when the Fed is going to raise rates to probably 0.25% from zero is the number one topic among economic prognosticators.
Even though I find some other things that are pretty important happening out there. Yeah, let me read these numbers to you and see if you can hear something a little bit odd.
1, 5.
No, not
7.
Those numbers.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Reading different numbers. Okay. The monthly trade deficit.
Yes.
When we're looking at that, we say what's the exports, what the imports, if we're importing more than we're exporting,
well,
there's a deficit.
The imports are important.
Yes. The monthly trade deficit is $2.9 billion larger than it was a year ago.
Yes.
Okay. Adjusted for inflation, the trade deficit in goods is $5.3 billion larger than a year ago. So if you adjust 2.9% or $2.9 billion for inflation, it's 5.3. Wait a minute.
No, that's not inflation.
That we're talking about.
Two different numbers there. One is the import-export difference, and the one is other one is manufactured goods, which is a different area.
The adjusted for inflation number is adjusted for deflation.
Ah.
And that's one of those weird things that people are still calling it inflation because we adjust for inflation in these numbers.
It's negative inflation.
Right. And what that means is over the last year, we have real deflation. And we talked about that last week. We've been talking about it for a long time. That's an issue. It means that the cost of living increases that people expect may not happen for their pensions and their Social Security and so on in the next year. So keep that in mind when you're looking around saying, well, I'm going to get a slight raise. Well, you might not, because if it's adjusted for inflation, there hasn't been any.
Well, so let's see what happened. The Dow Jones Industrial Average for the week. Oh, by the way, we haven't even given our telephone numbers.
No, we haven't.
Okay. But this is the personal health coach. We have?
Yeah, one time we gave our number. Yeah.
And if you want to call in here, and today is March 7th, 2015. How the heck did we get almost a third of the way through 2015? It just started.
That's a quarter of the way.
Or a quarter, well, half of half.
There's 12 of months.
There's 12?
Yeah, there's 12 months.
That's another number.
Yeah. We're quoting numbers here regularly.
Yes. And a number that you can punch into your phone or press into your phone. We sometimes say dial, but I was trying to think of the last time that I saw a dial telephone, and I can't remember how long ago it was.
They have attachments for the iPhone that
you can actually dial
handset with a little circle. Yeah, exactly.
Real physical ones?
Yeah. They have attachments. You would plug it into your iPhone and
you can actually dial numbers.
Yeah.
Like you would want to do that.
Right. It's very large. It'd be hard to carry around with you, but I'm sure it would cause a lot of laughs when you sit down and
I actually think I'd like to have one just so I could haul my iPhone out, plug it in, and dial a number. And then what you also, I think, would need to have is one of those receivers that's the bulky, huge receiver we used to have on the telephone.
Right.
And
you see, I'm happy if we just do a Get Smart and have the dial face on a shoe.
You got to take your shoe off.
Plug that into the phone. And
right.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, of course you would have to take the shoe off. Otherwise, you lose the whole effect of this thing.
You probably ought to try to manufacture those. Anyway, the telephone number is to call in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
So the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the week's down 1.52%. Year to date, it's up 0.015.
Yeah, there's another piece of news for the Dow.
What's that?
You were telling me about it yesterday.
Well,
it has something to do with pears or oranges?
No, well, they added fruit to the Dow because
it's a
dietary issue, you see.
And they took AT&T out of the Dow. Do you realize that?
Right. AT&T, the new AT&T apparently isn't very new, and it just kind of
it's falling
withering
apart.
Away.
Yes, but Apple is now in the Dow.
And this is the funny thing. They call it a tech company.
It's not really a tech company.
But it's really
anymore.
A manufacturing company.
Correct.
Do you realize what is supposed to come out in the next few days?
A Monday?
The Apple Watch.
That's correct.
And there's
a version of it.
At this point, unlike other watches where they have been panned by the critics and saying, I don't know why I would want to own this thing, the people who have worn it and have reviewed it, at least in the media, have pretty much universally said, I want to get one of these. Which means, I don't know what there is different about it, but something obviously is.
Well, they have a version of it that's $17,000. So if you, instead of a Rolex, you could get an Apple Watch and say, look at my $17,000 Apple Watch.
Does it get diamonds on it?
I haven't seen a picture of it. I've just saw a blurb about it, and I went,
Is that similar?
I don't think that it operates any faster as far as processor speed, so it must have precious jewels and metals on it somewhere.
Apple in the sky with diamonds.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, diamonds on the soles of your shoes instead of that would be diamonds on your Apple Watch.
Right.
Anyway, the S&P 500 was down 1.58%. The NASDAQ was down 0.73%
for the week.
Interestingly, year to date, they're all up just a wee little bit. The NASDAQ is up about 4%. For those of you who follow this, both of you, the NASDAQ...
Talking to both of my personalities.
The NASDAQ did squeak through 5,000 for just a moment and then fell back.
Right.
And it was, I think, I don't know, for those of you who don't know what 5,000 means, 5,000 is where the NASDAQ peaked in 2000. And it's sort of a fascinating thing. Apple is like 40% of the value of the NASDAQ?
Yep.
And Apple is the biggest, by capitalization and by a whole series of other numbers, is the largest corporation on the planet.
Yep. And they were there before. They were the largest corporation on the planet before. And then Exxon kicked them back out of the spot. Exxon's been there for a long time. Kicked them back out. But the change in the oil prices has caused Apple to jump up. They've also had good profits.
And we're not recommending Apple. Absolutely not. But you look at the price-to-earnings ratio for Apple, and it's theoretically not that bad.
Kind of fairly priced. It's just a big, big, big company.
Yeah. And that's just kind of weird.
It falls into a strange category.
Well, I don't know. AT&T was in the phone business, and it was the bedrock just under 100 years ago.
That's why that was the rationale before taking AT&T out, is that you want the major telecom company in there. And Apple is the largest telecom company right now.
And it's
even though they don't run the networks, they do run all the hardware that works on the networks.
And have you heard what they're doing next? They are poaching both. Several companies have filed complaints about employee poaching. They're offering Tesla employees a 60% raise to come work.
Yeah.
No, is it Google or Apple? Apple.
Yeah, well, there's these couple of lawsuits that just got settled, and the lawsuits were about poaching, and they got thrown out. And the poaching was basically, you can't come over here and take my employees, and then
by offering them a 60% raise,
right? And
60%.
So the reason why there was a lawsuit is because somebody, for instance, Apple would go to one of the competing companies or another company that doesn't really compete but is in the technology world. And hire somebody. And then within the next 6 months, the whole department that was under that person would go over to the new company.
With 60% raises.
Right, with 60% raises. And so there were these lawsuits going back and forth saying, hey, you can't do that. And what's funny is that Apple was part of the victim class in this as well, in that these other companies have been hiring from Apple with raises, and Apple's been hiring from them with raises. It's quite funny.
But it's
musical chairs.
When you look at the lawsuits and the information, it's apparently I don't remember the name of the company, but there's a big company that makes the batteries that go in Tesla cars and in a lot of other rechargeable cars.
Tesla's battery plant is finished, and then it won't be there anymore.
And apparently they're being poached from there and from Tesla. That's the two places. Now, why Apple buying expertise in car batteries and in electric car manufacturer?
Well, they're just announced that they have an electric smart car that's going to be driving itself. And by smart car, I don't mean the other kind of smart car that no longer is manufactured. I mean they've got a self-driving car, and they want to be first to market with it.
That's we've talked about that before, but talking about a staggering, that's a strong word, effect on the economy, talking about an upheaval in the job market.
This is bigger than the tractor.
By the way,
self-driving cars, self-driving trucks.
The various insurance companies, as they have filed their documents with the SEC this year, have listed the driverless car as a significant threat
to their business model.
If
a computer is driving the car, you need a lot less insurance. So the size of the insurance companies is going to drop drastically. I mean, if you think about that just for a little bit, if you look at the fact that we have this week, I got stuck in traffic on the way home from Salado to Austin, and the number of trucks on the road, the number of cars on the road, basically, I was in the left lane, but looking into the middle lane, it was bumper to bumper semi trucks as far as the eye could see, forward and back. And coming up over the next rise, I thought, well, maybe we'll at the end of the traffic jam. But no, it's trucks all the way forward. And we're used to that now. But it is an extremely inefficient way of transporting goods. The fuel efficiency is horrible. The fact that you have to pay a driver to get people, get these goods from one place to another, versus with a train, you stick it all on one driver, and it's getting to the point where there's not going to be a driver on the trains either.
But we don't have enough tracks to ship everything.
We've run out of that. So the next step is we're removing, it's going to happen, folks. The drivers will be removed from the trucks. The trucks will be safer. Mercedes just came out with a truck that will brake to a stop in a timely manner, extremely timely, faster than a human can do it, with a human driver. Basically, you drive along, and the heads-up display on the windshield will start flashing that there's cars ahead and they're slowing down. And if you don't react, the truck will stop itself. It's just a step further to take the human out of the equation altogether. It will be a lot safer.
Yeah, it's cars that are coming out.
And
already manufactured with that.
A lot less expensive. You'll have these kind of long caravans where they're driving along together, and they'll be drafting off of each other to get the best gas mileage.
Basically a train on the highway.
Right. And that's the future. It's going to happen. And we'll say, well, how are we going to drive with trains right next to us? Well, you won't. Your car will, and it will do it a lot better than you will. And it won't be that long. Apple wants to have their car out within 5 years. Google wants to have it out sooner than that. Mercedes has a model that's already being tested in San Francisco. BMW has models. I mean, Ford's working on it. Everybody is working on it.
The issue is that I wanted to bring, and we need to do commercials. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some commercials. We'll talk some more about the economy and some of the big trends that are going on. Not just trends, but we're beginning to see the opening of some extremely major changes in the economy. And we'll be back after these critically important words, because without them, we wouldn't be on the air, from Town Square sponsors.
Hi, I'm John.
And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. Telephone number's in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. We were talking about...
And wait a minute, that's all assuming that today is Saturday, March 7th, 2015, where you are.
Yeah, if it's not, then don't even try.
And I should warn you that if today is March 7th, there is a time warp coming.
Yep.
There's a time quake that will hit in the wee hours of the morning.
By congressional vote.
Right. Where 1 hour will vanish from the universe. Just go away. Time itself will cease.
Fall back. I say fall back.
But I mean, no, we spring forward.
Yeah, fall back.
Yeah, but we spring forward. And what happens
there's
an hour that just won't happen. But would that be the perfect hour, like, to commit a murder or something.
Yeah, because then you could say to people, well, no, it didn't happen because it's not possible.
Right, it's not possible to have committed that murder. And the issue, of course, is to go to one of the places that don't recognize daylight savings time for just a moment, commit a murder during the hour that doesn't exist anywhere else in the United States.
If the examiner's report says that the murder took place at 2:30 a.m. on March 8th, then the murder could not have happened.
That's Perry Mason.
Oh, or the Hardy Boys, or
And of course, the issue is that we just have to find one of those places that don't accept, like Arizona, that doesn't accept daylight savings times.
Right.
And go back and forth across the border while you were doing it, and you could, it'd be almost like doing it at the Dateline, except that you'd have to be in a boat.
But not in Arizona. You don't need a boat there. No.
Wait a minute. It was a song. You got some motion... property in
Arizona.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's cheap. It's very cheap. It's a very, very large beach.
Yeah. Life is. Anyway, so you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach.
And we had been talking about changes coming to the economy in a big way. We talked about self-driving cars, but I want to hit the other thing. I mean, if we go back to the information age. The computer was huge in how we communicate, and that's helped us be much more efficient. Robotics is finally at a place where we thought it would be 30 years ago. We thought it would be there. I've been reading the futures of the past. I've been looking back in the 1920s and the 1900s and looking at the expectations for the future that they had for a year, 100 years out, and what was going on. And they expected us to be, you know, flying around and so on. Maybe not too far off. This is fascinating because if we're talking about self-driving cars, the reason why we don't have personal flight to get from one place to another is because it's too dangerous. The people involved with the flying would cause so many deaths.
As Harrison Ford could definitely point out to you.
Right. I also saw a very nice picture of the Millennium Falcon crashed into a golf course. Harrison Ford crashes into golf course. So I don't know if he was trying to beat his record of, I think he said 9 parsecs. So he's trying to make the run. And anyway, concept of flying to work, you sit into a car and it takes off and say it's a quadcopter that takes you to work.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a very real possibility in the next several decades. It's something that you won't fly it, you will sit in it, and it will take you where you're going. And that's coming, and so is the ability to deliver packages and so on by drone.
But the FAA issued rules this week.
Oh, yeah, but those rules are going to... The rules that were issued for drones are important, but they're reacting to drones as if they're a minor event still. At some point, this is going to be the normal means of transportation for everybody in the country. The roads will go away.
For those of you who don't know about the drone rule, I couldn't find whether this was for all drones or just for commercial drones. The news media did a very poor job of reporting this, but they said that drones have to restrict themselves to 150 feet above the ground and lower,
yep.
Which is really going to mess up a lot of drone flying for amateurs, because a lot of them fly around cities taking pictures of buildings, and that they cannot operate the drone outside of the line of sight of the operator.
Which is also going to be problematic.
And I think 140 kilometers an hour. At least the funny thing is, I read about it in The Economist, and just didn't see much of anything in the United States.
It's a British publication,
which is why they were using kilometers per hour, right?
Yeah, and we drop back. There are some other major events. The drones are going to be. I think drones are a stupid word for them. I mean, we've had remote control devices for forever, and to call them a drone is just kind of fear mongering. I think. Because drones drop bombs. But the reality is that's how we'll be getting to work at some point. And then we have the baby age of 3D printing, which is also coming up. That's how we're going to construct houses. It's how we're going to construct cars. It's how we're going to construct everything. It's how you will cook. I realize that's a weird one, but if you think about the idea of being able to bake a loaf of bread by hitting a button and having it print out the bread as a piece of bread rather than a loaf. The Keurig coffee maker was a big deal because you can put one packet in there and it spits out one cup of coffee, and that's been kind of a big rage. A lot of other companies are doing something similar now. You still have to put the coffee in the cup or the little cup thing in the thing to make it work. Long term, the efficiency in the kitchen, the efficiency of construction. Right now, there's a lot fewer people on construction sites than there used to be because we've got nail guns and we've got circular saws. At some point, we're going to have a machine make the house that will just show up. It will dig the holes. It will lay the concrete. It will use some other substance to make the house, and that's, people are already using papercrete, and papercrete would be an easy one because it's just paper and concrete mixed to make it lighter, kind of like paper mache, only a lot harder. And if you have a machine with tracks that will build its scaffolding as it goes along, just like a 3D printer, you have a house. That's the future. We have known technology that's going to change the face of everything that we see. And most people are still shocked when we mention the ramifications of 3D printing or self-driving cars or drones. Put this all together, and it's the same kind of shift that's going to have to happen as what took place at the beginning of the 20th century when the tractor came along. Maybe bigger.
Apparently, let me correct what I said a little earlier about the amateur use of drones. I just looked it up at the FAA site. 400 feet is the ceiling for amateurs, and it has to be within line of sight, and is not supposed to be flown near buildings, stadiums, people, nor within 5 miles of an airport without contacting the airport control tower and receiving permission.
That makes sense.
The restriction on commercial use is still that it is not allowed to carry commercial goods, period.
Right. And Amazon and Google and Apple and a whole number of other big companies are going back to them and saying, why? Because if you really think about it for just a second, every time a pilot of a 747 hits the autopilot button, that airplane becomes a drone. There's no pilot anymore. I mean, he may be sitting there, but he's not flying it. And we've had those since the 1960s.
Yeah,
we've had a version of it since the 1920s.
And it's sort of an interesting conundrum where the government effectively is stopping something. Well, you know,
it's currently illegal to clone humans, too, in the United States.
Right. And
by congressional act, because you never know, somebody might clone Hitler or something, and then what would you have? Well, you would have Hitler's twin. It wouldn't be Hitler. He probably would not be born with that mustache. But we tend to have a fear reaction to new technology before we have a constructive reaction to new technology. And if you look back at some of the political ramifications of the tractor and the Congress was talking about regulating tractors to make sure that they weren't running people off the jobs and so on. That would be a bad idea here. If you stop technology so that people don't lose their jobs, we become France. Please excuse my French as response to that concept.
Further update on the drone issue. By 2017, apparently companies will be able to petition.
Yeah.
And they present the engineering specs for the vehicle they want to use. You know, one of the things that, very frankly, a lot. By the way, the limitation, again, is 55 pounds, which
right.
is a little on the low side. But one of the things that agriculture want to do, for example, is in spraying crops, instead of using crop dusters flying at low altitudes.
Use drones.
But anyway.
Because then each farmer would be able to spray their own crops easily, just the same way that they do their own combine work.
It's a fascinating issue, to say the least, and it's one of those things that's changing. Now, but back to the issue of the driverless car, just that alone.
Combines already drive themselves.
Right. Think about the issue of the garage mechanic, the how many people work fixing cars.
Yeah.
And you realize that with...
You can't do that with a Tesla. A Tesla car
right.
has to be fixed with a robotic
and I was,
system.
One of the things I was listening to an article on the radio about the other day, as I was driving, or not driving, mostly just stopping to and from Austin, was the critical shortage of software developers.
Yep.
That somebody asked me the other day, we are in a position, and I made this comment to them, to a fellow in the office who's visiting, that we are in a position here very, very similar to the beginning of the 20th century, almost exactly the same time in the 20th century. If you go back to 1915, which would be really difficult to do, but if you look at the history of 1915...
You could try.
Yeah, but it was a long ways from here.
You'd have to
have a really good spacecraft.
Travel back in space to where the planet was in 1915 and then try to figure
right,
back
and match it
time.
Up. Right.
That's very difficult.
Yes, so... The point is that looking at the history and what was going on in 1915, the tractor was just being introduced. We were beginning to see the early forms
buying them.
Of the tractor, of the truck, the pickup, the ubiquitous farm transportation and labor-saving devices. And there was not a lot. It was a kind of an experimental thing, and there was a little of it here and a little of it there, and people were still mainly plowing behind horses.
Yep. Or mules.
Or mules. And the wagons were still running very nicely in 1914. We had a war. And
everybody
that war,
got weaponized.
And by the way, again, those of you who haven't studied history, at the beginning of World War I, all of the major armies were riding horses.
Yeah.
By the end of the war, they had concluded that horses and machine guns were incompatible on the battlefield. And we had tanks, which were basically tractors that were, and they literally were agricultural tractors.
Yeah, and that didn't even shift completely in World War I, because in World War II, when the Nazis invaded Poland,
The Polish
cavalry met the tanks on the field.
My stepfather, in the 1930s,
I remember
was
about this.
Still on horseback in the United States Army, because that's how slow we were to change things. But what I'm trying to say is that if you look at the advent of a new mechanical technology in the United States, with the jobs it created and the jobs it destroyed, and the skill sets change that was needed, we kept ourselves from falling on our face, and this is literally true, by importing a tremendous number of people from Eastern Europe.
Yep.
Where everything was falling apart. It's very similar to the people we need out of Latin America today. Eastern Europe obviously doesn't have a tremendous number of people to send us this time.
No. They're doing a good job of disposing of them themselves.
Well, they're just not having a high birth rate either.
Right.
Which leads me to another story about what's going on in Italy.
Central Eastern Europe is having a huge growth rate in there. Certain countries, former Soviet countries, are having a boom in population, and there are former Soviet countries that are shrinking faster than, I won't say the analogy I was going to say.
Oh, well, okay.
But I'm sure by not saying it, enough people can imagine analogies that would be shocking enough that I didn't need to say it.
You're talking about fecundity.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Italy, I did an article this week I think it was in The Economist, Italy has probably passed the point of no return on its population.
Yeah.
Meaning that the population is shrinking so fast because people are just not having babies.
Yeah, we have to wrap up this hour,
okay.
But I want to hit something that you said just a minute ago. We have a shortage of software developers.
Right.
We have the hardware. New hardware is not being developed when we're talking about 3D printers or about drones. We're still using the same...
Or electric cars.
Yeah, we're still using exactly the same hardware that exists in all kinds of other things. The limitation is the person that designs the software that runs the hardware in a new way. So if you have youngsters around that are wondering what they should do, don't tell them be nurses, don't tell them be doctors, because they will be replaced by computers. Tell them to write for the computer that writes for the doctor.
Yeah, that's if they can handle the math.
Yeah.
And that's not even
that bad, because the math itself, you have to understand the math. You don't necessarily have to do the math. The computer will do that for you.
I know he can get the job, but can he do the job?
I'm not arguing that with you.
Joe versus the volcano is the quote right there. And you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and the Personal Wealth Coach, we have a way you can contact us off the air at our business. So during the weekend, we have voicemail, but during the week, there are real live human beings, really nice human beings who answer the phone there. And the telephone numbers there are locally 947-1111 or...
toll free, it is 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can also email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com, listen to podcasts, read our philosophy, look at our ugly mugs. No, you don't have to do that part. But
until next hour, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.
Temple Belton Killeen Fort Hood, proud to broadcast to the largest military post in the free world. News Radio 1400 KTEM.